Welcome to Deep Dive. We take complex topics and really try to break them down for you. Today, we're diving into something that's, well, often invisible, but totally critical, how technology infrastructure actually gets managed in schools. It's like the hidden wiring keeping everything running. And for this deep dive, we're working from an article by Gary Ackerman, #EdTech for #EdLeaders, Managing Users, Resources, and Data. Our goal here is to really unpack the strategies, maybe some surprising ones, that keep those school networks, you know, secure, working reliably so learning can actually happen smoothly. Okay, let's get into it. So, you know, you picture the big install day, right? All the shiny new tech arriving. But the article makes a strong point. It's not just plug and play after that. The real work, the intense effort, seems to start after everything's plugged in. IT folks then have to meticulously tweak device configurations. It's all about making the network secure, yes, but also robust and dependable day to day.
Right. And what's fascinating here is just how much detail goes into that. It's not trivial stuff. They're setting up who can log in. That's user authentication. They're granting access, you know, to servers, printers, other devices. Plus, they have to manage network addressing, IP addresses and such, and tweak security constantly as devices come and go. And here's the thing. A lot of this, the really core stuff, is planned before a single cable is run. We're talking hours and hours of meetings, school IT people, network engineers, all hashing out the whole setup. It really is like designing the plumbing and electrical before you lay the foundation of a house.
That makes sense. So once you have this complex network up and running, the next big question is who gets the keys? Mm-hmm. Which brings us to user accounts. The article points out permissions are based on your role. You know, administrators, teachers, students, seems logical. And they even break down students into smaller groups, organizational units, or OUs, like high school versus middle school. Why that extra layer?
Oh, those OUs are really central to managing things efficiently. It's quite clever, actually. And it connects to another key practice. The network folks themselves usually have two accounts, a standard one for, you know, email, daily stuff, and a separate administrator account just for making network changes. It's about security, separating those powers. Okay. And those OUs, they let admins push out changes to whole groups at once. Instead of touching, say, 500 student accounts individually, you apply it to the middle school students, OU. Boom, done.
Right. That's a huge time saver.
Oh.
Okay, but this part in the article really jumped out at me, the idea of not recording user passwords. I mean, isn't that risky? Seems counterintuitive.
It does sound odd at first, yeah. But there's a really solid reason, and it comes down to accountability, digital accountability. So picture this. An admin needs to log in as a user, maybe to fix something weird, or maybe they need to lock the user out for some reason. They can change the user's password temporarily. Then the user gets a one-time password from the admin to get back in, and they have to set a new private password immediately. The critical part, the why, is about privacy and responsibility. If the admin changed the password, the user was locked out. They physically couldn't have done anything during that time. So they can't be blamed for actions taken under their account when they didn't have control. Once they reset it, they're back in control and responsible again. It builds trust, actually, and provides a clear audit trail.
That's actually pretty smart. So it's not just about who logs in, but also controlling the actual computers and devices. IT admins can tweak those from, like, a central command post. Sounds very efficient.
Oh, absolutely. It's standard practice. Think about sending out operating system updates to hundreds of machines, or installing new software, updating apps, setting up printers, all pushed out from a central server.
Wow.
And just like users, computers can also be put into OUs. So need to update all the machines in the library's computer lab, apply the change to the library computer's OU, much easier.
And that remote access capability you mentioned, controlling devices from far away.
Yeah.
That must be incredibly valuable.
It's a total game changer, especially, you know, for districts covering a large area. If it's set up right, someone with the device's IP address or name can log in remotely using special software. So a tech in the central office could troubleshoot a teacher's computer in a school miles away.
Right.
I actually remember a situation. This is a rural school way out there. They called, convinced the network was totally down. I used remote access, jumped into their main server, and, well, it turned out someone had just unplugged the main router to charge their phone.
Oh, seriously?
Yep. Saved me what would have been like a 3-hour drive, got them back online in minutes. It lets IT staff be almost in two places at once. Huge efficiency gain, cuts down travel, especially for those spread out districts. It's fundamental tech now.
So the network's built, users are managed, devices controlled, smooth sailing from there. Probably not, right? The article emphasizes this constant battle against network degradation. Even good systems wear down.
That's just the nature of complex systems, yeah. So maintenance is ongoing. A big part is keeping software updated. The OS, applications, drivers, those little bits of code that let things talk to each other.
Mm.
But updates aren't always perfect. Sometimes they cause new problems, conflicts you have to hunt down and fix. And, you know, while hardware failures, like a server suddenly dying, do happen, it's often the slow, gradual degradation that causes those frustrating, intermittent issues.
Yeah, the annoying stuff.
Exactly. And when a device does fail completely, having a really good, up-to-date network map, like a blueprint, is invaluable. It helps you configure the replacement quickly and get everything stable again.
But sometimes it's bigger than just one device failing. What about, well, disasters,
yeah.
Fires, floods, major outages.
This brings up, a really critical point for any organization, not just schools. Disaster recovery, the article puts it plainly, it's when, not if. You have to have a plan. And that plan can't just sit on a shelf. It needs to be clear, written down. Key people, tech leaders, school admins need to know it inside out. And crucially, you need to follow it when things go sideways. A huge piece of this is backups. Offsite backups, redundant backups, your data, your systems stored somewhere safe away from the school site. Mm. A lot of schools actually pay specialized companies for this now just to ensure they can get back up and running. It's about continuity. Learning can't just stop.
Absolutely. And yeah. Thinking about the future, IT managers aren't just fixing things. They're looking at upgrades, new systems, making sure, I guess, that new stuff plays nice with the old stuff. Sounds like a headache.
It definitely can be. Compatibility is a constant worry. You often see major issues pop up when, say, an operating system gets old, reaches its end of life, and has to be replaced. Nothing supports it anymore. And the article highlights two groups that often feel this pain the most. Really small schools, and those who jump on new technology very early, the early adopters. For small schools, there's this lock-in problem. They might have bought cheaper student information or accounting software years ago, maybe stuff that wasn't updated much.
Just save money initially.
Exactly. But then switching to a newer, better system becomes incredibly expensive and difficult. They're kind of stuck. It's that classic trade-off, short-term savings causing long-term pain.
So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway? We've gone from network setup, user accounts, device control, all the way to maintenance, disaster planning, upgrade challenges. It really drives her how complex this behind-the-scenes IT management is in schools. It's a vital work that most people probably never even think about.
Absolutely. It's the invisible framework that lets education happen in the digital age.
So for you listening, maybe think about this. How do these ideas managing users, resources, data show up elsewhere? In your workplace, maybe? Or even just in how you manage your own digital life, your own accounts, devices, backups. What strategies do you use, consciously or not? And, maybe more importantly, where are the potential gaps? What part of your own digital architecture might be a bit shaky? Just some food for thought as you navigate your own connected world.